In the film Philadelphia, Tom Hanks plays a gay attorney afflicted with AIDS. It is set at a time, the film is, when there was much more fear and uncertainty surrounding AIDS, and he hides his condition from his firm, his law firm. But all of a sudden he is fired. He is fired because he has AIDS. He's fired because he is gay and has AIDS. He decides to sue this prestigious law firm for wrongful termination, but he can't find a lawyer to represent him in this unclean, risky, and unpopular case. One of the lawyers he tries to recruit is Denzel Washington, a character played by Denzel, who is afraid of the disease, and his character is afraid of homosexuality, too. They come across each other later in the movie in a scene after Denzel rejects taking on his case, and they meet in a library, and I wanted to show you that scene from the movie.
Sir, this is the supplement. You're right. There is a section on HIV-related discrimination.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
We do have a private research room available.
I'm fine right here, thank you. Excuse me, do you know where I can find the State versus Murdoch case?
Just a moment, okay. I'll be right here.
No. Would it make you more comfortable?
Beckett, how you doing?
Counselor. Huh.
Whatever, sir.
Excuse me.
What'd you get?
What?
Did you find a lawyer?
I'm a lawyer. Hey, how's your baby?
Oh, yeah, she's wonderful. Great.
What's her name?
Larice.
That's a beautiful name.
Named her after my sister. Look, how'd they find out you have the AIDS?
One of the partners noticed a lesion on my forehead.
But how do you go from How do you go from a lawyer spotting a lesion, which could have been anything, to the partners deducing that you have AIDS and terminating you on the basis of that conclusion?
That's a good point. The partner who spotted the lesion, Walter Kenton, worked for Walsh, Ulmer, and Brom in D.C. Paralegal there, Melissa Benedict. She showed lesions on and off for the better part of 2-3 years. She says it was common knowledge around the office that her lesions were caused by AIDS.
But they didn't fire her.
No. They did not fire her.
I see. So you got a relevant precedent?
Mm-hmm. The Arline decision.
Arline?
Supreme Court.
The Federal Vocational Rehabilitation Act of 1973 prohibits discrimination against otherwise qualified handicapped persons who are able to perform the duties required by their employment. Although the ruling did not address the specific issue of HIV and AIDS discrimination,
subsequent decisions have held that AIDS is protected as a handicap under law, not only because of the physical limitations it imposes, but because the prejudice surrounding AIDS exacts a social death which precedes the actual physical one.
This is the essence of discrimination. Formulating opinions about others not based on their individual merits, but rather on their membership in a group with assumed characteristics.
Hear this from the Bible. The person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head be disheveled. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean!" He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. Leviticus 13. Leprosy in the Bible did not only refer to the disease that we know today as leprosy, Hansen's disease. It could refer to any number of skin conditions. When your skin was marked by some disease, it wasn't good news. You were declared unclean. You were ostracized, forced to live outside the camp or the town, cut off from family, from friends, cut off from life. Frequently regarded as divine punishment for serious sin, this disease belonged among the worst evils one could suffer. It was like a living death. If you touched one of these ritually unclean people, their uncleanness became yours. It was transferred to you. And you too would be sent outside the camp until such time as the priest declared you clean. Healing from leprosy was like being raised from the dead. So we come to the story of an encounter between Jesus and a leper. When we read this story in our Tuesday morning Bible study, one response to the practice of putting people outside the camp was that it was good, sound health policy, that it was rational. When someone's contagious, you put them outside the camp. That's what probably gave rise to the text in Leviticus. But the hell, the living death experienced by those outside the camp, yelling unclean to everyone who came near. This text was not sound health policy, any more than forcing all Japanese into internment camps was sound defense policy. This text isn't about sound health policy. It's about disease and healing. It's about clean and unclean. It's about how Jesus handles both. There is an interesting variant reading. You know, the English Bible that we have is the product of numbers of Greek texts, fragments of texts that scholars put together, and sometimes they don't all agree with each other, and so scholars have to choose which is the reading that is most likely the original, but sometimes they can't completely agree, and so they give you a footnote. And if you look in the NRSV text, the Pew Bibles there, you will see that there is another variant reading in the verse that clarifies Jesus' response, or that gives another color to Jesus' response. It says, when the leper came and threw himself down at Jesus' feet, it says that Jesus, in our translation now, it says that he was moved with compassion, right? Moved with pity. But if you look in the footnote, it says other ancient authorities read that Jesus was angry. Angry. Moved with anger. Why? Why would Jesus be angry? Even if you don't accept this variant reading and want to go with what the scholars have translated as compassion or pity, it's a very weak translation of the original word, and it really means that Jesus had his insides, his intestines twisted. He was moved with compassion. He was moved in the deepest parts of who he was. It turned his stomach what he experienced. He was deeply moved, in other words. You notice that the leper gives Jesus a chance to back out. Jesus, I know that even talking to me is not allowed, but if you choose, if you're willing, if you want to, I believe, I know, I trust that you can make me clean. You can give me my life back. I do choose, says Jesus. And there's that explicit note from Mark, the gospel writer, that Jesus reaches out and touches the leper. In defiance of the religious system that would pronounce not only him but Jesus unclean, Jesus defies that system and reaches out and touches the leper, and you can sense what happens. Instead of the man's uncleanness being transferred to Jesus, it works the other way around. And Jesus' wholeness is transferred to him. Show yourselves to the religious authorities, says Jesus. Go and show them how things are supposed to work. This is not just another healing story. This is not just one more person coming up on a stage on a famous healer's rally. This is not what this story is about. This story is about Jesus taking the religious and social order of the day by the throat and saying in no uncertain terms, I will let nothing stand between me and even one of God's beloved children. This is what Jesus is about. Yes, Jesus is our personal Lord and Savior. Yes, we are blessed when we spend our private spiritual times with him. Yes, we grow and are renewed in our spirits when we praise and worship him for an hour on Sunday morning, a little longer when the preacher is long-winded. But Jesus is also something more. There are different kinds of unclean, I think, in the Bible. There's the real kind of unclean that we experience in ourselves, that we inflict upon ourselves when we fall short of the glory of God. This is the way we feel when we are cut off from God's presence, which is what happens when you sin. We are separated from God, and we feel unclean inside. This is all of us. We are all unclean at one time or another, and more often than we'd like to admit. And on that basis, we have no place, no standing to judge others. But for those of us who are unclean, and that is all of us, you know what Jesus says? God takes care of that. It's called grace. It's called the kingdom of God drawing near to us. It's Jesus reaching out to us and bringing his wholeness, pouring his peace and his joy inside of us until our stomachs turn from turmoil to joy. I do choose. Be made clean. There is nothing that can stop God's grace. But there is also another kind, a different kind of unclean. It is the unclean, quote unquote, created by fear and doubt and self-centeredness, the kind of unclean that we call others when we are afraid for ourselves. It is the kind of unclean that makes us hide behind piles of books and hide behind the reasons for sound policy. It is the kind of unclean that makes us want to usher those we don't like or don't agree with into private research rooms. It is the kind of unclean we call others because of gender or orientation or religion. Oh, those Lutherans. Just kidding, Lutherans. It is that unclean that we are so afraid of it that it blinds us to our own brokenness and sin. This is the kind of unclean that I believe makes Jesus angry, that turns his stomach. This is the unclean that he also embraces and exposes. I do choose. Be made clean. Not only does God take care of that, but he created a church where all the unclean can come. And that's all of us at one point or another. And when we say our prayer of confession and when we open our spirits, he embraces us and our living death is transformed into life-giving praise. There's that moment in that library scene, the moment when Denzel, after having shared a bit of chit-chat, begins to walk away, and as he walks away, he faces that moment of decision. Do I walk away? Do I keep moving? Do I make my life easier? Do I just ignore it and keep going? Or do I turn back? Do I turn back to the one who needs to be embraced? This is the moment that Jesus faces as the leper comes and throws himself at his feet. Jesus never turns away. But when we come to this place, we also face those moments. There is often not much that we can do to bring healing completely to ourselves or to others. But we can, in the Spirit, declare each other clean and loved and embraced because we ourselves have felt that embrace. And that's good news because when we turn, when we embrace, we are saved. Amen.